You're listening to MMA Rated Radio, brought to you by Crooked Jaw. Check him out at crookedjaw.net. Ariel Helwani leading the way again, and today we're talking with MMA super agent Wanmani Cox. It's a full-time job just trying to keep up with this guy and knowing about all his endeavors and his deals and the fighters that he's representing, but very glad that he's taking the time to talk to us today on MMA Rated Radio. What's going on, Monty?
Not too much. Thanks for having me on.
So, like I said, I was trying to think in my mind, what should I ask you first? And I think I'm going to talk about the big one. Obviously, Fedor, Sylvia, we've heard July that this is going to be an Affliction show. You obviously represent Tim Sylvia. Can you officially confirm to us that this show is actually going to be taking place and that Fedor will be facing Tim Sylvia?
Well, I know that we have a contract that has Fedor's name on it, and we signed it and sent it in. So, I mean, as far as that goes, yeah, sure. It looks like July 19th in Dallas, you know, we're going to have Fedor against Tim Sylvia.
Okay, so the question that comes to my mind is, obviously you were associated with M1 Global. That partnership is no longer in place, and the big, you know, the big chip with M1 was Fedor. Now you're sort of working with them to try to make this deal and put this fight on. Was that sort of a strange position for you?
Well, I mean, the deal was originally we tried to be partners with Fedor and with his team, and that it just didn't work out. I mean, we all and things like that happen. I don't want to say anything negative about Fedor or his management. They just wanted things, and we wanted things, and after 6 months of trying to put it together, it just didn't work out. So we parted amicably, and they moved on in their direction. I moved on with Adrenaline, which is a new show that will debut June 14th in Chicago. And one of the first things we did with Adrenaline was sign Tim Sylvia. So now Affliction comes along, and Affliction is able to come to some terms with, and they called and wanted to use Tim Sylvia. And of course, you know, that's one of the things with Adrenaline. We're not going to limit, you know, where our guys fight.
So you have no, the Affliction promotion is sort of a separate deal where you are just, you know, like you would in a UFC fight, you're just, you know, getting your fighters to be on the show. You have no other sort of stake in that promotion, right?
Correct. I'm not the promoter. I'm simply a manager putting fighters in a show.
Okay, so, I mean, more to that, you don't have to deal with Fedor's people, or do you? I mean, do you deal through...
Not
Affliction?
At all.
Okay, that's what I thought was a little strange, that you just had this partnership end, and now you have to, you know, make a fight with him. So, okay, so the Affliction deal or show in July is a totally separate operation than the one in June with Adrenaline, correct?
Correct.
And Adrenaline is now going to be its own promotion, sort of like what you were trying to accomplish with M1, and this is going to be a promotion that runs every month or so, or what kind of schedule will it be like?
About four times a month.
Four times a year.
Okay. Four times a year, I'm sorry.
Gotcha. And for that June show, you said it's June 14th, correct?
Right.
What kind of – we've heard about Jeff Monson fighting on the card. Any other fights that you can announce?
Well, I mean, I right now I've got Jeff Monson fighting Mike Russo, and Russo's the one that just fought in New Year's Eve in Japan and won, and he's 9-1. He's a Chicago policeman, and I've got, like, Tony Fricklin against Brian Gassaway. I've got, we've got Terry Martin fighting Daju Takasi, who beat Anderson Silva.
Right.
And we've got both Rory Markham and Bart Palaszewski from the IFL.
Oh, interesting. So you'll be working with the IFL. They'll be sort of lending fighters to you guys as well.
Correct. And then I got Aaron Rosa from Elite that they're loaning him to us. That's the whole gist of our show. It's a mixture of guys. I work with everybody. So, you know, organizations will loan me fighters. I'll loan them fighters. And, you know, this is the way that MMA is going to start working.
Okay, and where is that show going to be taking place in Chicago?
At the Sears Center in Chicago.
Okay, gotcha. And the IFL is very familiar with that location. Okay, switching back now to the Affliction show, or more specifically, Fedor. Can you just sort of explain for one last time what exactly went wrong between you and M1 Global?
Well, I mean, we were M1 Global. We actually own the name, and this is, you know, we tried to... bring Fedor in as one of our fighters and also give him part ownership in the company. And in the end, it's a lot of times things come down to control. You know, how much say does somebody have? You know, who decides what the lineup's going to be? Who decides, you know, what events are going to be put on and where? And we had a problem between us over control. From my end, I've been doing this now for 15 years. I've promoted over 500 shows. I'm not going to have somebody tell me how to promote a show. And that's, you know, that's kind of what how I felt it was heading.
At what point did you realize, though, that this partnership was not going to work out?
Well, I think we tried everything. I mean, we realized that we were bumping heads pretty early in the negotiations, but it kind of took the full 5 months until we finally just said, you know, we tried everything possible to make this happen, not just from our side, but from their side. And in the end, it just didn't work. It just wasn't, we weren't going to come to an agreement, and we thought it was better for both sides to move on.
Now, obviously, hindsight is always 20/20. Sorry to interrupt, but I just want to know if you think that maybe you guys jumped into this a little too sudden with that big press conference in October. There seemed to be grandiose plans, and maybe that could have spelled a little doom later on down the line.
Well, I don't know. I mean, because at the time we'd had a big meeting in Amsterdam. We laid everything out on the table. We explained exactly what we wanted to do and how it was going to be done. And everyone was, yeah, let's go. So at the time, everything that we said in the press conference and everything that we announced, we had gotten the go on. But then, you know, those are broad strokes. Eventually you have to settle down and actually work out the contract and work out the negotiations and such. And that's where it starts to get a little more, you know, difficult. And we didn't think there was anything that was so bad that we couldn't overcome it, but after 5 or 6 months, it became apparent we just weren't going to make it.
Now, Dana White has spoke before about how hard it was to deal with Fedor's management team, Vadim Finkelstein, his manager, and obviously now you worked closely with him. Is there truth? Are these guys just hard people to work with?
I think that there are people who know what they want, and there are people who want control, and I don't begrudge anybody that. It's just that in our situation, we couldn't give them everything they wanted.
Okay. And for the M1 promotion that it was supposed to go down, and now with Adrenaline, you are going to be wearing two hats, right? You're a promoter as well as continuing your duties as an agent. I recently spoke to Ken Pavia about that, and he was a little critical, saying that, you know, he would never think of doing something like that. How tough is it for you to sort of, you know, conflicts of interest aside and trying to please your fighters as well as acting as a promoter? How hard is it for you to juggle those two acts?
Well, I mean, that's the difference between Ken and I. I mean, Ken struggles at just being a manager, let alone trying to promote. I mean, I can't imagine it'd be horrible to fail at both professions. So he should just stick to what he's doing. But for those of us who have been successful in MMA, both as a manager and as a promoter, I don't find it that difficult at all.
Okay. Ken and you are definitely the two most recognizable faces in terms of management and agents in the MMA world, sort of, you know, become the I guess you could say, like the Drew Rosenhaus type, Arn Tellem types of recognizable agents that we've known in other sports. What's your relationship like with him?
I'm taller than him, but as is most everybody. But no, I don't know. I mean, who cares? I mean, you know, he came along. He's got about 2 years in this thing. He's never developed a fighter in his life. You know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we're completely different. You have two kinds of people. He calls himself an agent, which is probably right. I'm a manager. I take guys in the beginning of their career and develop them. I don't run to the UFC after Rich Franklin. You know, I got Rich Franklin when he was an amateur. I picked every opponent for him for 3 years until we got him up to 21-0 and moved him into the UFC, and he became a champion. That's a manager. you know, an agent is someone that says, look, I don't even really know you, but I'll bet I can make money with you. Okay. And I had nothing to do with developing your career, but hey, go with me. I've got some connections, and I'll make money with you. So it, I think it's a huge, huge difference. Well, anyone can watch a UFC and pick out a guy that does well and say, man, I should manage that guy. Well, yeah, that's nice, but what about the guys that have been managing and handling that guy for the 4 years before he got there? You know, and that's that in my business, we call those agents poachers.
Poachers?
Yeah. They wait till somebody else does all the work, develops the fighter, gets them to where they're, you know, to where they're already UFC level, and then you step in and poach them from who's ever handling them and pretend like you have something to do with their success.
Got it. Okay, and speaking of UFC talent, Tim Sylvia, one of your big dogs, what exactly went wrong between him and the UFC? Why the parting of the ways now?
Oh, I don't think anything went wrong. I mean, far be it for me to give credit to the UFC because we battle all the time, but they were awesome in this deal. We were not going to re-sign with the UFC. We wanted to do something different. Tim has had his whole career in the UFC almost, and we were going to do something else. Well, you know, I went to them and said, you know, do we really want to? We have one fight left. Do you want to do this fight? And they even suggested maybe we should just let him out of the deal early, and you can go get him what he wants. And I said, you know, that might be the best deal rather than like Arlovsky, where he does his final fight as an undercard fight.
Right.
You know, why do that with Tim when he's, you know, the guy's been in 11 world title fights. You know, it worked out perfect for both sides.
But if he would have won the title, though, they would have been forced to re-sign him, right?
Wouldn't have been forced. They weren't going to give him a title shot. He had just lost it.
No, but if he would have defeated Minotauro, he would have been the heavyweight champion.
Correct. Then we would have still been in the UFC.
Interesting. Okay, so it's interesting that they would have put themselves in that position where they would have sort of had to been forced to keep him around. My final question before I let you go, I know you're very busy. You have a huge stable of great fighters. Anything you could tell us, anything new that's been happening, any new fights signed that we should know about?
Well, I mean, usually you kind of let those guys, you know, the people who sign the guys announce them. They get kind of touchy when you don't, but...
Oh.
But I will tell you this much. I will have one of my guys will be replacing Chuck Liddell in England, and maybe possibly against a different opponent. But I think one of my guys will end up headlining that show.
Now, this is not James Irvin, right? Or
well,
is
he's
it?
Not one of mine.
Okay, exactly. No, because James Irvin is the guy that we've heard that's going to replace Chuck in terms of fighting Rashad Evans. But you mean in terms of being in the main event replacing Chuck, right?
Right.
Can you give us any more there? You sort of piqued
my interest. No, that's it. That's the only thing I can say because we haven't signed anything yet.
Okay, so it's going to be a fight that we don't – it's not going to be taking a fighter from another part of the card. These are two fighters who haven't fought yet, right?
Well, mine was not scheduled to be on that card.
How about his opponent?
We're still working on which opponent we're going to do.
Gotcha. Just a little hint? If possible? No?
No.
Okay. All right, Monty. Well, thank you very much.
Here's a hint. He's taller than Pavia.
Oh, geez. All right. Wow. You and Pavia are not going out for a drink later tonight. That's the only thing I gathered from this interview. Okay. Well, thank you very much for the time. always a pleasure talking to you, and best of luck with Adrenaline, Affliction, and, you know, everything in between.
Great. Thanks a lot.